Unity in the church is something that many have talked about for some time. In our present state in the church, we have lots of denominations, lots of nationalities, lots of divisions. And it is easy to begin to think on a World Communion Sunday that celebrating communion together as the world in Christ seems a lofty ideal rather than a reality. And perhaps in thinking about that, it would be easy for some persons to think that it must have been wonderful in times past, years and centuries ago in the early church, when there wasn't Methodists and Baptists and Catholics and the Anglican Church and the Episcopal Church, which, you know, are separated by oceans, and we were all one in Christ. And we could all come to the communion table as one in Christ. Well, I have news for you. Even in the first century, the first 100 years after Jesus had been here and founded the church, and even while the Apostle Paul was still founding churches, problems of divisions had already arisen. In fact, in Sunday school, we've been doing 1 Corinthians. And we have found that most of the letter of 1 Corinthians was written specifically to address the problems this young church was having. And one of the problems was divisions. Corinth was a metropolitan place, a lot like the U.S. It was a place of many nationalities and many languages and many religions. Something that we're finding in the United States at this time is that we no longer can expect everyone who walks through the doors of the church and sits down in the pews and joins us for worship. We cannot assume that they have a Christian background. We cannot assume that they were raised from the time they were this high with the stories of Jesus, with the stories of the scriptures, with the hymns that we enjoy singing. It was that way in Corinth as well. Most of them had not even come from a Jewish background. Many had come from all kinds of diverse backgrounds, religious and irreligious. And as they gathered together and tried to be the church together, they found that they had many, many problems. And one of those problems was indeed taking communion together as one body. Now, I read just a short part out of the scriptures about Paul's instructions about what communion was, where it came from. That communion was actually instituted by Jesus Christ on the night in which he gave himself up for us for our sins. Interestingly, Paul could not even assume that they knew that story. When they were coming together for communion, they celebrated it just a little differently in the first century than we do now. When we celebrate Eucharist or Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper together, we do it within a worship service, often at the altar, with just a small piece of bread and a little bit of juice representing the wine, and it's very symbolic. When they celebrated communion together, they actually did it as a full meal. They would sit down for a full meal together, much the way we sit down for full meals at fellowship dinners. And they were supposed to be times of communion, times of community. When you hear that word communion, a good thing to think of is community. They were to be holy community together. Now, sometimes when we think of Holy Communion, we think of our communing with God. We think of kind of a vertical line. We come and we are present with God. We are communing with God. And that is a very, very important part of communion. But there is also a horizontal relationship that is supposed to be going on as we are communing together. We are being community, one in Christ, acknowledging, loving, forgiving, relating to to one another. We are communing as the body of Christ. Not just as Laura and Scotty and Julia, all up there by our little selves doing our own little thing with God. We are up there as the body, linked and connected, made one in Jesus Christ. Now, this is not a new problem, that when we get together as community, divisions develop and people have a hard time getting along and a hard time acting as one mind and one purpose. They were getting together for their time together in Holy Communion, and they were a diverse group of people. Remember, they would have come from several different backgrounds. Some would have been slaves and would have had very little to bring and offer. And some would have been very wealthy and had plenty to bring and offer. Some would have come from a Jewish background, and Jewish people do not sit down and eat with Gentiles. It's just not done. Some would have come from a pagan background, which meant when you got together to eat, you're overindulged. The whole point was to overindulge, to eat too much and throw it up later so you could eat more. You know, that whole system of gorging oneself is very hard for me to comprehend. But some of them would have come from that kind of background of gathering together. And so they're all trying to get together and be community together and have no clue how to do this. So all kinds of problems start to develop. And Paul tries to address that and bringing them back to the fact that all of those things that divide them, that's not what's most important. There's lots of things that continue to divide us as the church. But when we come together in Christ, we need to remember that there is no Jew or Greek. There is no slave or free. There is no black or white. There is no rich or poor. There is no U.S. or Afghani. We are all one in Jesus Christ. All those who claim Christ as their Lord. Blessed be the tie that binds is a very common hymn sung in many churches as a closing hymn every Sunday. And some of those churches do what we do at our closing benediction. They hold hands. And many people have come to understand that the tie that binds us together is our sense of liking each other. Our sense of, you know, the tie is that we're holding hands. The tie is that we're in close proximity to each other. That's what makes us community. But that's not. Notice it's not plural. The ties that bind us, our commonalities, our common interests, our common geography. It's the tie that binds us. And that is one thing and one thing only. Jesus Christ our Lord. At this point in our history, there's been a lot of focus on remembering the flag and remembering our connection as Americans. And I think that is very important. And I'm glad that the flag was brought back into the sanctuary, because I think it can remind us to be in prayer for our nation. And that's important. But there is something that binds us together that is even greater. And that is Jesus Christ. And the one thing that we do together as Christians that brings us all together in one place and one time is Holy Communion. There is only one communion table. We celebrate it at many different places. That's why we call it the Lord's table, not the Lord's tables. It's the Lord's table. And as we come together at the Lord's table in holy community, giving, and Eucharist means thanksgiving, giving thanksgiving for all that Christ has done, we are one in Christ. You may remember that Afghanistan was in the news way before September 11th. Do you remember what it was in the news for? It was in the news because there was some Christian aid workers in Afghanistan who were having Christian fellowship with some Christian Afghani people. You may also know that under the Taliban regime, it is illegal to practice Christianity. So the aid workers were arrested, and the Afghan Christians were arrested. And the Afghan Christians will probably be put to death, if they have not already, for just serving Jesus Christ. When we come to the table of the Lord's communion, we don't come simply as Bethel United Methodist Church in America. We don't come simply as the United Methodist Church in the Tallahassee District. We don't come simply as the church in America. We come as the full body of Christ. And we come to that table with everyone who is a Christian and every place and every time in history. When we kneel at that table in communion or stand in praise at that table in communion, we are communing with Bishop Desmond Tutu. We are communing with Mother Teresa, who has gone on to the church triumphant. We are communing with B. Taylor. We are communing with the Korean church, the African church, the church in China, and we are indeed communing with the Christians in Afghanistan, the Palestinian Christians, the Russian Christians, the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words for us today. We come as one people. What binds us together is thicker than blood. It's thicker than nationality. It's thicker than geography. And it's thicker than time-spatial relationships. It's Jesus Christ. As we prepare to go to communion this morning, we are going to use the communion service out of the hymnal, which you will find on page 12. And I'll let you find that. We're going to do the invitation, the confession and pardon, and the great thanksgiving. And as we prepare ourselves to come in unity, celebrating what Christ has done for us, and that Christ will come again, and we will one day truly all be one in Christ, I'm going to invite Nicole to come and sing a song for us to help us prepare our hearts and minds to receive this sacred meal.